Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your host, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. This is Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson, along with the amazing
William Hall from time to time. Hey, William, how are you, Rabbi?
William Hall with that very boomy new microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Sounding good very very late night jazz in the overnight hours.
29:10.
So yeah, William has a new microphone, and I had to change mine over because he's making me feel self-conscious about myself today. So I'm gonna try and stay close to the microphone and hopefully get some good booming. I'll have to try and use my radio voice today.
You've got a great radio voice, that's for sure.
Thanks. So yeah. Today's show is going to be called Take Two Tablets and Call on Me in the Morning.
Now that just opens up such a huge can of worms. And interestingly enough, unlike every week in the past, I've had insight. Today I have no insight as to why you called it that. So I'm going to be just as excited as all the listeners.
Well, typically what happens is, you know, that we try to cover something usually from the Torah portion. And so I generally look at the Torah portion from the week before. And of course, when we're doing our show, I'm usually talking about the Torah portion that I studied over Shabbat. So it's not the current one. It's usually the one from the week before. So it's gonna pull from Ki Tisa, which we learned about the Egel Zahav, the golden calf, but also Moshe Rabbeinu going up and receiving the Luchot, the tablets, and then having to go back up again to receiving the second tablets, and then Vayakel, where he gathers all of the congregation of Bnei Yisrael together. And we see in Vayakel, in the Zohar, some things discussing prayer as well. So it's the idea of calling upon me in the morning as well. So typically you say it's the old joke of take two tablets and call me in the morning, but this is take two tablets and call on me in the morning. So we're going to see if we can tie Ki Tisa, Vayakel, and the Holy Zohar together and see if we can come up with something interesting. So stay with us here on the Science of Kabbalah on Israel News Talk Radio, and we will be right back after the break.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire news, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, don't forget Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah. Thank you for joining us today. Rabbi Yitzhak has dropped a bomb on me this morning. Take two tablets and call me in the morning. And interestingly enough, Rabbi, the whole time I'm sitting here thinking, even while you're talking on the introduction, I'm thinking, two tablets, what is he talking about? And then it dawned on me, the quote, the tablets from Mount Sinai, which makes this even more brilliant altogether. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
So, you know, as always, when we're looking at a Torah portion, and this last week's Torah portion on Shabbat was Vayakel, but I always kind of look at the Torah portion before to get context. And of course, the portion before was Ki Tisa, which kind of concludes with the details of the construction of the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle in the wilderness. And then we also have the famous giving of Machatzit HaShekel, the giving of the half shekel. And I always love that there's an incredible lesson to be learned in that, the idea that nobody is worth more than a half a shekel. The rich is not to give more, the poor is not to give less. And it really is a life lesson to teach us that we're not any better than anybody else, that we're all just half a shekel. And the only way that we become full is in relationship with each other. And then, of course, we also have the mitzvah of Shabbat is commanded in there. And it's kind of has this juxtaposition to the details of the Mishkan. And it then provides us in the Gemara, in the Talmud, with the 39, what are called the 39 melachot, or the 39 categories that are prohibited on Shabbat. Those are related to the different types of work that were done in the construction of the Mishkan. And then, of course, being a very, very rich Torah portion, Tisa, we also have the story of the Egel Zahav, the golden calf.
You know, I'm questioning this idea, too, now that you mention it. I wonder if there's a significance that there are two tablets. Why didn't he just put it on one and write on both sides? So it'd be a lot lighter for most carry. I mean, is there a connection even to there? You can't have one tablet, but you have to have the other one too.
Right. You know? So first of all, if you read very carefully, you see that the tablets were engraved on both sides.
Oh.
That's number one. Now, when you ask about the question of the weight of the tablets, we're going to get to that, but I don't want to talk about that yet because that really is a very significant concept related to the first luchot and why they were broken. But you're going to have to wait to hear the answer to that one.
Nice.
So we know that Moshe ascended Har Sinai on the morning of the 7th of Sivan, and he remained for 40 days and nights. And then it says he returned on the morning of the 17th of Tammuz. And all of these are very significant, you know, 17th of Tammuz related to the time that we come into mourning, related to the destruction of the temples. And of course, when you put everything together, you find out with the second set of the Luchot, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but just to kind of give people a timeline, eventually what ends up happening is the full story comes around when Moshe comes down the second time on Yom Kippur. And that's really at the culmination of after what happened with the Egel Zahav, but we're kind of jumping ahead of ourselves on this. So it's kind of important to note, and I'm not sure that we'll be able to get into all the details of it on today's show, but we have the people approaching Aharon, Moshe's brother, who was the high priest. And we know from a lot of the commentaries that Aharon tried to stall the people when they came to him and they asked him to make this calf, to make this this Egel Zahav. It really, we see in the text that the people were concerned because Moshe had delayed coming down from the mountain. There are commentaries that state that really it was, they thought he was supposed to come back on the 16th of Tammuz, but they counted the 40 days wrong. And Aharon was really trying to stall them a little bit, hoping that Moshe would appear the next morning. Of course he did, but he breaks the Luchot. He breaks the tablets. He marshals the tribe of Levi together. And we learn that 3,000 people are killed at this time. And We see, I'm kind of giving a summary here. You know, Moshe demands, he kind of demands Hashem's forgiveness in a way for the people. But then we see that he moves the Ohel Moed, he moves the tent of meeting out of the midst of the camp. And then Joshua is proclaimed kind of the person that's going to take over. He's the main student of Moshe. And we see that he's going to be the one that's going to take over for Moshe as the leader of Bnei Yisrael when they're getting ready to come into the land. We also see that Moshe requests to understand the ways of Hashem, his justice, and he's granted to a certain extent a greater understanding of Hashem than any other person in history. We know that, but he is denied the ability to comprehend divine justice. He's kind of given this understanding a little bit when Hashem puts him in the cleft of the rock. And we may go into some of these in more detail. Okay. And then finally, Moshe is instructed to cut two new luchot, two new tablets, and ascend to Har Sinai. He's taught the secret formula for tshuva, which we're going to talk about as well. And that's related to the 13 attributes of Hashem. as he manifests his mercy and he forgives Bnei Israel. But I want to start off talking about a little bit about the Egel Zahav, about the golden calf, and what the Zohar HaKadosh, the Holy Zohar, talks about this in Parsha Ki Tisei. And it starts by saying, come and behold, it is written. And when the people saw that Moshe delayed, talking about Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And then it says, the question is then asked, who are the people? Like, in other words, it says, when the people saw that Moshe delayed, who are these people? And then the Zohar answers that they are the Erev Rav, that they are the mixed multitude. Now, I'm sure you've heard that there are many different opinions about what the Erev Rav are or what the Erev Rav were. I'm sure you've heard that, no?
Yes, I've actually read a lot upon it in the Midrash as well, which really explains so much.
But I mean, before that, what was your thought before you started studying Midrash and before?
Well, before, originally I thought that it was basically that, you know, it was literally a mixed multitude, not just the Jewish people, but it was like an even balance of, you know, Jews and non-Jews. And that was it. That was a limit of it. There was no extra explanation other than just that.
Right. So of course, many people have the idea that the Egyptians saw what Hashem had done for the Hebrews, and they said, I'm hightailing it out of here after what this God did. You know, I'm going with the Jews and heading out of town. And I've heard that from a lot of people. What we learn, and of course, you're talking about Jewish commentators talking about this, and in the Midrash as well, and the Zohar speaks about this. The Zohar talks about the fact that all of the exile and all of the destruction of the temple and all of the tribulations that Bnei Israel have gone through is all a result of Moshe Rabbeinu accepting the error of Rav. It says, and all the brash and evil men of the generation are of them. That is to say, from their souls, that they are the incarnation of them. This is from the Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkuni, like tikkun, means rectifications. Rectifications of the Zohar, it's a commentary on the Zohar. But the Zohar is of the opinion that it's not talking about converts, as some opinions bring, because some opinions are that these were converts. And the Zohar talks about it a little bit, because people will say that some of the Egyptians converted, but it would say that they weren't proper converts. And because they weren't proper converts, that they constituted this idea of a mixed multitude. But when you really get into the language of the Zohar related to Ki Tisei, you find that it gives you very specific answers on who this mixed multitude is. And I want to talk about it because later on we'll discuss the idea of many people today talk about the Erev Rav as well. They talk about Erev Rav in a different way than they speak about it as the mixed multitude in Mitzrayim in Egypt. And the Zohar goes into the concept, when we get into Vayikel, the idea of Amalek and the spirit of Amalek. And so there are people that talk about this spirit of the Erev Rav, or having this attitude of the Erev Rav, like it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, talking about the brash and evil men of the generation are of them, that is to say, from their souls, that they are an incarnation of them. So we see this coming throughout the ages, that there wasn't just an Erev Rav in Mitzrayim, and there wasn't just the Amalek that attacked at that time, but even coming up to Purim, we know that there is this spirit of Amalek, that Haman or Haman is actually a descendant of Amalek and acted like Amalek trying to destroy the Jews. And so we see this both in a physical way and a spiritual way, which you and I talk about all the time on this show, about the parallels and about the dualities related to both the physical and the spiritual. So it also says, and the reason it says this, it discusses this idea of, and a mixed multitude went up also with them. This is what the Zohar quoting from Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. But it doesn't mention nations. It just says a mixed multitude. And it says because they were all one nation and language. But what the Zohar goes into is telling us that all the magicians and sorcerers of Egypt were there, as it is written, and the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner, referring to Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, when it says Paro or Pharaoh, too, called for the wise men and for the sorcerers, that they too, the magicians of Egypt, should do thus with their occult arts. And that what we're talking about is this idea of the when Aharon threw the staff down when they stood before Paro and it was turned into a serpent. The Egyptian sorcerers did the same thing. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this further, William. So stay with us. We'll be right back on the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. So, William, before the break, we were talking about the sorcerers and magicians of Egypt and how this is who the Zohar refers to as being the Erev Rav, or the mixed multitude. And we quoted Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, where it speaks about Pharaoh or Paro calling upon the wise men and the sorcerers to answer Moshe and Aharon when they came and they asked for the Hebrew slaves to be set free. And they threw down the staff that Hashem had given them and it turned into a snake. And so the sorcerers or magicians did the same thing with their magic arts. And the Zohar goes on to say, William, that the reason they did this was because they wanted to stand up against the wonders of the Holy One, blessed be He. But when they saw the miracles and wonders that Moshe performed in Egypt, they returned to Moshe. In other words, rather than following Pharaoh, they returned to Moshe. They realized that Moshe was sort of the guy, and obviously that his God was the guy as well. And then it says, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moshe, do not accept them. Now, that's very interesting because, and we're going to see maybe a little bit of support for this in some of the verses in the Hebrew scriptures. And then I saw something very interesting. For me, it was something new that I hadn't really connected and put together. And I'm sure many other people have seen this. But for me, for some reason, I didn't see this. It became a new thing for me when I was studying this, actually not when I was studying the Zohar, but when I was studying the Chumash and studying the Torah portion over Shabbat, I noticed this. But it says, Moshe's answer to Hashem was, Master of the universe, since they saw your mighty deeds, they want to convert. Let them see your mighty deeds every day, and then they will know that there is no Elohim except you. Now, and then, of course, it says, and Moshe accepted them. Now, there's something very interesting to note here. And the Zohar teaches us that during the entire time that Moshe is in Egypt, he never uses Elohim as the title for Hashem. He only uses Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which is the Tetragrammaton, which is the holy name of Hashem, which we don't pronounce, which is why I say Hashem. And it's enforced with this verse in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, actually verse 1 and 2, where it says, Va'acher ba'u Moshe v'Aharon, v'yomer el paro, ko amar Hashem Elohei Yisrael, shalach et amo v'yachogu li bamedbar, v'yomer paro mi Hashem, asher eshma b'kolo l'shalach et Yisrael, lo yedati et Hashem, Vagam et Yisrael lo ashaleach. So basically it says, afterwards Moshe and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the God of Israel, send free my people. that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness. And then in verse 2, Pharaoh said, who is this Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei? Who is this Hashem that I should hearken to his voice to send Israel free? I do not know Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Moreover, Yisrael, I will not send free. So what is the Zohar really trying to teach us about that related to the difference between using Elohim and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei? What we see is that when the people went to Aharon to make them the calf, they said, rise up, make for us an Elohim. And this is really the difference between, in Kabbalah, when you and I have talked several times, William, about the difference between the left and right, when we talk about those dualities or the parallels, where we have the right side being the side of purity. We know that Aharon is the high priest. He's always been related to the side of chesed, to the side of loving kindness, which is on the right side of the Eitz Chaim. And then, of course, we have the other side, the left side, which is the klipa or the klipot, which means the shells of the impure side. Because other gods are called other Elohim or Elohim Acharim, other Elohim, small gods. And it says this is the reason why Moshe never used it. He never used Elohim, but only used Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, because he didn't want to empower the side of impurity, which was the side of Elohim related to the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, who it is said are the ones that wanted Aharon to build the Egel Zahav. And the Zohar says on this, which shall go before us? What did they mean by this? It's meaning that the Erev Rav, this is what they meant. We saw that you, the children of Israel, have all that is good and precious in the world, but we are put aside. This is the Erev Rav speaking to Israel now. This is what the Zohar is saying. For you, it says, Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei went before them by day. Quoting Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. We also want Elohim to go before us. See, they don't ask for Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, they ask for Elohim to go before us, the same way that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei goes before you, before the Hebrews. Again, this is the Erev Rav speaking to Bnei Yisrael at the time. So they go on to say, our side, speaking about the left side, also has the power to go before us if we summon it by action. And what is the action they're talking about? Namely, the making of the Egel Zahav, the golden calf. And then it goes on to say that the clouds of glory in the wilderness only covered the children of Israel, but that the mixed multitude along with the cattle and the sheep were outside of the camp. And this is what the Zohar goes on to say. It says, come and behold, all those 40 years that Israel traveled in the wilderness, there was no dirt or dust within the place where the clouds were. Therefore, the sheep and cattle that ate grass were outside with all those that guarded them. And that it also teaches that the manna only came to Bnei Yisrael, and the mixed multitude kind of received the leftovers. And this is why the Erev Rav, this is why the Erev Rav wanted to strengthen the left side, the side of impurity. They wanted to be united with Bnei Yisrael. They wanted to be united with the Hebrews as one nation. But it goes on to say that Aharon said, heaven forbid that they should be part of the holy people, so all would be united as one. The holy people should not mingle with these people into a whole. It is better to separate them from the holy nation until Moshe returns. See, we know that Moshe was still on the mountain at that time with Hashem. And then it goes on to say that Aharon's intention was good, but unfortunately, many of the children of Israel, many of the Hebrews, joined with the mixed multitude in their hearts. Therefore, when Moshe came, he had to purify them from that sin, and he gave them to drink. Remember, he took the Egel Zahav, and he burnt it, and he made it into dust, and he forced them to drink it, which, when you look back at the Torah, when it says that they sinned in their hearts, it very much reminds you of what? It reminds you of the Sota, the woman that was caught in adultery, that was forced to drink. They would be brought to the priests And it says the same thing happened to them, that when it talks about some of the people that died, William, that what happened was they drank from that, and then they woke up, that they didn't wake up, but they were dead in the morning. Their stomachs bloated and kind of exploded, so to speak. The next section is also very interesting because it goes on to speak about what Aharon did in order to fashion the Egel. And it quotes from Exodus chapter 32, verse 2, where it says, Aharon said to them, "Break off the gold rings that are in your ears, in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So Rabbi Shimon asks the question, didn't they have any other type of gold? Why would Aharon say to them, break off the gold rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters? It doesn't even say to take them off from yourself. It says your wives, your sons, and your daughters. And so Rabbi Shimon asks a question. This is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Remember, we're talking about the Zohar. He says, why didn't they have something else? And he answers, but Aharon thought, while they are quarreling with their children and wives, they will be delayed, and in that time Moshe will arrive. In other words, they'll fight with their children and wives about taking off the earrings, and then Moshe will come back. But it says, come and behold, we have learned, and then it talks about converts that are, it's quoting the Talmud that talks about converts being as bad to Bnei Yisrael as a sore on the skin, this idea of sepachat, which we read about in Tractate Yevamot, which has to do with Levirate marriage. So I found a very interesting quote about this. And what it says is, a teacher said, if someone presents himself nowadays for conversion, we say to him, why do you wish to convert? We instruct him in some of the easy mitzvot and some of the hard ones. What is the reason for this? It is so that if he wishes to leave, he may easily do so. For Rabbi Chelbo said, proselytes are as bad for Israel as a scab, as it is written, and strangers shall join them and shall cleave to the house of Jacob. That's quoting from Isaiah 14:1. That's actually that quote that I'm quoting from is from Yevamot, I believe, in Yevamot 4. The Zohar is making the argument that the Erev Rav were not proper converts, like I said earlier. And after discussing, so now after the Zohar finishes discussing this concept of the sorcerers who were doing magic related to the gold, we read the following. It says, Rabbi Shimon opened and wept and said, and then he quotes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 16, where it says, then his master shall bring him to Elohim, to God, and he shall bring him to the door of the doorposts, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. So that's a very interesting concept. We don't have time in this segment to get to it, but William, when we come back, we're going to talk about that verse related to slaves and how it relates to the mixed multitude and the idea of what we've been talking about in the Zohar. So stay with us. We'll be right back on the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your host, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah on Israel News Talk Radio. Just earlier, we were speaking about several things, actually, getting into Exodus 21:6, where it says that he will take the slave and bore his ear with an awl to the doorpost. He'll be a servant forever upon the servant's request, of course. Earlier, I mentioned something about the mixed multitude that I think was very interesting to me, even though as much as I've read on the Midrash, I've heard a lot of spins on it. I did not hear until today for the first time that it was that the mixed multitude was specifically all the sorcerers and witch, I would call it witchcraft stuff, mm-hmm. and which really does drive a motive of selfish gain, and as to why it was problematic from the very beginning, and also why God told Moses the people you brought out of Egypt, not like your son broke the car window, my son washed the dishes.
Right.
So anyway, carrying on. So I know you're going to get into Exodus 21:6 for us.
Yeah, you're actually catching on really good, this idea of Moshe. And this is one of the things that Hashem tells him later on. You know, basically, you were the one that brought these people up. But related to that verse and this idea of, when we go back, looking at that idea that it was said, Aharon says to them, go to your daughters and your children and wives and tell them to take off the earrings. Rabbi Shimon brings up that verse and relates it to this idea of the slaves. And he goes on to teach us that the friends, when the Zohar is talking about friends, it's talking about Rav Elazar, who's the son of Rabbi Shimon, and some of the other rabbis who were sitting there listening to these teachings, said that this is related to one whose ear heard at Har Sinai. And they now quote from Vayikra, from the book of Leviticus, further speaking about slaves in Leviticus 25:55, where it says, for it is to me that the children of Israel are servants. My servants are they whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh, your God. So then it goes on, the Zohar says, yet they threw off the yoke of the kingdom of heaven and sold himself to another. His ears should be pierced. And these sinners, wicked, evil people, in their desire to return to their evil ways, did not request jewelry from their wives and children, but rather tore them from their own ears. This is what the Zohar says, meaning that they damaged the ear that they heard at Har Sinai. So in other words, this mixed multitude was at Har Sinai. They saw Hashem come down. They saw the Torah being given. Supposedly, they stood and said, Naseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. But it says, and they quote now the Zohar, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, that says, Lo yihye lecha elokim acherim al panai, where Hashem says, you shall have no other gods before me. Right. And they threw off themselves the yoke of heaven that was ordered by Moshe and tore their ears, revealing that they had no portion in the holy name Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh, nor in the holy nation. And that's where we come into Vayikel, and he gathered, which starts the discussion, like I said, related to the sin of Amalek. And it says that the reason Amalek is mentioned is because while there were other wars, this one was significant. It was more significant because it was both a spiritual and a physical battle, like I talked about before. Similar to the concept of the Erev Rav, as today I said, we spoke about that a little bit related to Purim and so forth, and this idea that people talk about it today. Right after this, the Zohar compares Amalek to the evil serpent, and it goes back to a discussion of the Erev Rav, saying that when there are evil people among them, the righteous and pious will also be punished for their sins. In other words, that if not for the mixed multitude, Bnei Yisrael would never have been punished for the Egel. And it says this, come and see what is written of every man whose heart prompts him. And it quotes Exodus chapter 25, verse 2, which we saw earlier in Truma, in Parsha Truma. Now it says that includes everyone, even the Erev Rav. And that was because it was said or taught that Hashem wanted to build a Mishkan from all sides, both up and down and left side, right side, have everything included. But now that the Erev Rav was in their midst, it said, of every man whose heart prompts him, in order to include them in Israel, who are the inner part. Now, this is an interesting thing from actually the preface to the Zohar, where it calls, we know that Kabbalah is called the inner Torah, and it says this, just as the Torah has a revealed outer part and an inner part as well, so does everything in the world. In the world at large, Israel is considered the inner part, and the 70 nations of the world are considered the outer part. Among Israel, there are Jews who serve Hashem totally, and the external ones who do not dedicate themselves to his service. Among the nations, the inner people are the righteous of the nations, and the outer ones are the coarse and harmful men. Even among those Jews who serve Hashem, there is an inner core of those who are privileged to comprehend the innermost secrets of Torah, talking about those who study Kabbalah, and the outer ones who study the physical aspects of Torah. A man who studies Torah and its secrets raises the level of Yisrael, the innermost part of humanity, to ever-increasing levels over and above the external part of mankind, and will cause the nations of the world to recognize and to testify to the superiority of Israel until the prophecy of Isaiah 14, verse 2, is fulfilled, where it says, "And the people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them in Hashem's land as male and female slaves. They will take captive those who were their captors and rule over those who oppressed them." This is really speaking, William, about the importance of the study of the inner Torah, of the Kabbalah. Mm. Now, back to the Zohar on the Erev Rav. Afterwards, people came together according to their kind, and a mixed multitude, it says, created the Egel. Some were drawn to them and died. Those were meaning some of Bnei Yisrael. But then it says, from that time on, the Holy One, blessed be He, only wanted the Mishkan built only as performed by Yisrael. That is why it says at the beginning of the Parsha, Moshe gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together. Then in Exodus chapter 35, verse 5, it says, take from among you a contribution to Hashem, instead of what we read earlier of every man whose heart compels him. In other words, Moshe had to gather and separate Bnei Yisrael from the mixed multitude. Now, maybe we're going to talk about this next week, because the Zohar goes into an amazing part in Mishle about what is his name and what is his son's name. You're going to love that, but we may have to talk about that next week, because that's snap dab right in the middle of this. But we don't have time to really get into it. And
hopefully we'll have time to get into the weight issue of the tablets.
Oh, yeah. I want to. So let's see if we can talk about that real quick. Okay. So the Zohar then goes on to talk about the book above and the book below, based on the same verse, taking an offering. The Zohar states, when the Holy One, blessed be He, created the world, He did so solely that Israel would come and receive the Torah. By the Torah, the world was created, and it's the Torah that preserves the world. So to talk about the weight with a few minutes left, one of the things that we're learning here is the idea that the Zohar is teaching us this idea of precepts related to our speech and intent, because the Zohar goes on to teach about internal work related to prayer in Vayikel, believe it or not. And it's this idea of both the internal work and the external work. The external work would be considering things like putting on tzitzit and putting on tefillin. The inner work would be having the proper intention of our speech and our proper intention as it relates to prayer. Because when we have the proper intention, it says, then our speech rises up and there are different ministers, there are different malachim, different angels at different levels that take it up higher and higher and higher and higher. And it says this, it says, if our speech is proper, all the ministers kiss that speech and go up until they reach the air of the firmament where there are other ministers. When they kiss that utterance, they open and say, this is talking about opening up the gates that they're responsible for, that they are assigned to, and they say this, happy are you, Israel, who can bedeck their master with holy crowns. Happy is the mouth from which that crowning speech came forth. It says, then the 12 letters of the holy name that stand in the air soar, for that name has power over the air. And that is the name that Elijah soared with till when he went up into heaven. And the letters are very important. Now we're going to get into the idea of the weight. The letters are very important because when we see that Moshe broke the original tablets, the original first Luchot, those were written by the finger of Hashem. And one of the main opinions for why he had to break them, we see from commentaries and we see in the Zohar as well, was not because he was angry and he chose to throw them down, but as a result of the sin of the Egel, the holy letters that were on the Luchot, it said, soared from the Luchot. In other words, the spirit that was involved in those letters that were written by the finger of God left the Luchot, and they became too heavy for Moshe to carry, and he had to throw them down, and that's why they broke.
Interesting. I don't know how much time you have left, but something came in.
We have about a minute left. So they were really the idea that they were too heavy to carry. And really the notion is really supported in the idea that when we look at the second Luchot, what do we see happen? They weren't tablets that were carved out of the mountain by Hashem. Now, Hashem may have, again, used his finger to write on them, but he tells Moshe, you carve out two stones. So it really speaks to the lower level that we had spiritually after the sin of the Egel Zahav. So even though Hashem gave us two more tablets and he gives us a prescription on how to be forgiven and we're shown his mercy and forgiveness, we still were knocked down a notch spiritually. And that's what we're trying to get back today in everything that we're trying to learn by trying to learn the intention of the Torah and the inner Torah is to try to elevate ourselves up to that higher level again. So we don't have, we've run out of time, William. So we may have to talk about this concept a little bit more next week and next week's show. And maybe talk about a little bit more about Vayikel and see what we learn, because there's more information here that's very significant. So you want to listen to us every week here on The Science of Kabbalah and Israel News Talk Radio. You can hear us every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.